Hello and welcome to show number 2540 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Scott Brick.
And I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy. And of course, that was a little bit different than our usual introduction. The first voice you heard was today's guest.
Scott Brick's voice is very familiar to us and probably to many of you, but talking with him was almost like being inside one of the books that he's narrated. It was a real treat. We'll talk with renowned audiobook narrator Scott Brick, the voice behind over 1,200 audiobooks you may have enjoyed listening to, including many bestsellers. We'll talk about Scott's career, the importance of voice care and hydration for book narrators, his coaching of others who are new in the field, and the potential effects of AI on the industry. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Scott Brick.
My tip of the week is to get enough rest. I say that because I don't. I am blessed. I get asked to do a lot of work, and I never want to say no. But I just went more than a month without taking a day off. And yesterday was the first Sunday of the NFL season, which is probably my third favorite holiday of the year behind Christmas and Thanksgiving. So my wife and I just spent all day in bed doing nothing but watching football and dozing off, and I felt as though, even though I had done almost nothing, I kept falling asleep because I had been running on adrenaline for over a month. And when it all just ran out of my body, I was hammered. So I really want to encourage everybody, take a Sabbath. Whether you're religious or not, a Sabbath is, I know it's used in a religious context, but every study has shown you have to take minimum one day off a week to rest, recuperate. And as Stephen Covey would say in his Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of them was to sharpen the saw. By that, it was a metaphor for getting rest, sharpening the blade, then going back to work. So rest up, everybody.
Great advice. Thank you so much.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Scott.
When we were setting up this interview for Eyes on Success, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if we could snag an interview with Jack Reacher, who is the main character in Lee Child's books about Jack Reacher? Or maybe Paul Atreides, who is the main character in the Dune series of books written by Frank Herbert? But alas, as you know, those characters are fictional. But we have something even better today. We snagged an interview with the person who brings those characters to life. So, Scott, introduce yourself to our listeners and tell a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Scott Brick. I'm an audiobook narrator. I've done about maybe 1,250 titles.
Oh, you need to update your website. It says you've only done 800.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't like tooting my own horn. I don't like to brag. I really don't. I get treated so well by so many people. I don't need to talk about how many books I've done, but my wife has gotten to the point where she starts correcting me if I'm not accurate. So, yes, so I've done about 1,250 titles for all sorts of publishers. I've done the entire Dune series. I did the Alexander Hamilton bio by Ron Chernow that became the basis of the musical sensation. Did In Cold Blood, Jurassic Park, Hunt for Red October. I am a film enthusiast, especially the silent film era. I am a home baker, and yeah, that's about me. That's about it.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is what's involved in narrating audiobooks. We've done several prior episodes with other audiobook narrators, but their experiences all differ. So here's another one highlighting Scott Brick's experiences and how he's encouraging and coaching other people new in the field.
Scott, in the introduction, you talked about some of the books you've narrated. There were some very popular and well-known books. You've been doing this for a long time. How did you first get into audio narration?
I first got into audiobook narration through a buddy of mine at UCLA. He had been to a lot of the performances that I had done over the years. I was a theater, TV, and film student there. And I guess it was while I was touring out of UCLA, I did about 10 years with a traveling Shakespeare company called Will & Company that is still operating today. God bless them. And my friend Bob Westall, he was working for a company called Dove Audio. They were extremely popular at the time. I think the Faye Resnick book had just come out. Faye had written about her best friend, Nicole Brown Simpson, in the wake of her murder. And Faye came in, narrated the book herself, and oh my God, did that company just take off. So yeah, they hired me, brought me in for a couple of short stories. One of the people who was working there that day, named Dan Musselman, he wound up moving on to another position at a company that was ultimately bought by Random House. And next thing you know, I'm doing this all the time. It was a wonderful thing, especially for a book fan like myself.
How long has it been?
Well, I can tell you the exact date. It was June 10th of 1999. And I only know that because I had to do really detailed tax returns that year. And so every time I went to an audition, to a gig that I'd been cast, I would write down my mileage. And years went by, and I ran across that year's little day planner that I was using. And I thought, when was that? And boom, there it was, June 10th, 1999.
From the number of books you indicated that you've read over the years, it sounds like you must be reading all the time. Does that give you time to pursue the acting career that you started out in?
Well, yes and no. I continue to do other things. I haven't done anything on stage for a while, only because that's really taxing on your voice, unless you're mic'd. And that's a whole other thing. But it's very difficult to go, you know, play Cyrano or Hamlet or Macbeth at night and, you know, have to raise your voice for a good deal of that amount of time, and then go in and put in an eight-hour day in a recording studio the next day. So, but I've done, you know, on-screen stuff occasionally. But I will say, you get out of life what you put into it. And I put in the most effort in the area of the industry that reaches out to me the most. You know, audiobooks really took off, so that's where I've been putting the majority of my efforts. So that's where I do the majority of my work.
Notwithstanding the projection of being an actor on stage, I'm amazed that even in a recording booth without having to project, that you can read for 8 hours a day without destroying your voice. What do you do special to keep your voice in shape? Is that difficult?
It's not too difficult. Frankly, anybody can do it. The thing to remember is the larynx, the voice box, it's a muscle. And talk to any chiropractor, they'll tell you, muscles fail without water. So I hydrate like crazy. I have become the unofficial guru of the audiobook industry. I remember years ago, I was out at Penguin Random House's studio in Los Angeles, and they had 10 booths in that location. And I see a guy, it's Friday night, it's about 5 o'clock, and I'm getting ready to leave. I'm just grabbing something from the fridge. And he comes up to me, and I'm assuming he's leaving as well. And he goes, no, we have to finish. I'm flying out on a gig tomorrow, and I've got 2 more hours, but my voice is thrashed. What can I do to get it back? How can I rehydrate so that I can get through the last 2 hours of this book and not sound like, you know, Froggy from the Our Gang comedies years ago? And I said, I'm sorry, the only thing to do is wake up an extra 2 hours early this morning and hydrate like crazy. Because unless you do it at the beginning of the day, you quite literally cannot. I've done a lot of reading into this. You cannot hydrate in less than 4 hours. That's how long it's going to take you.
Oh, to get from your mouth to your vocal cords, because it has to get absorbed by your system.
Exactly. And in his case, he needed to recuperate from all the thrashing that he had done to his vocal cords. I said, go home, drink a lot of water on the way, wake up really early tomorrow before you got to get to the airport, and maybe you'll have a chance. But, you know, I'm sorry. There's no shortcut. It's like, you know, does a farmer wait until midnight the night before the crop is supposed to be harvested to even plant? Of course not. Nature takes time. So give it time. So, yeah, I begin my day every day doing 2 liters of water before I even begin in the booth.
And you've got your video on. You've got a water bottle with you that I keep seeing arrive at your mouth.
Yes, I've got, this one is actually the water bottle, this one that I'm holding up to the camera. This is like my thirsty 2-ouncer super gulp, you know, like that you would get at 7-Eleven. This is the ice water, and then I have hot tea. And between the two of those, it keeps my voice stimulated. It's like when you go to the gym and you have the hot tub and the cold dip. It's good to stimulate your muscles with different temperatures. It keeps them pliable. So, yeah, that's what I do.
I'm guessing a fair amount has changed in this field over the years. You talked about early on tracking your time and your mileage to get to your gigs, but these days that equipment is a lot less expensive, and I'm guessing a lot of it can be done from home.
A lot is done from home these days, which I guess is a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing for other people. It's a curse for me because I don't like working from home. I'm just weird that way. I'm way too social. I get cabin fever very easily. So I love going into, well, again, out here in L.A., Penguin Random House has a facility with 10 studios. I get to see 10 other narrators, 10 other directors. If I'm working on a really great book, I get to enthuse about it with 10 of my friends and colleagues. If I'm working on a book that isn't so good, I get to complain about it. And I personally work better when there is a sense of accountability. I know that if I'm working with somebody else, they're not getting paid unless I'm working. And so that keeps me on schedule. Working from home, it's so easy to get distracted. So easy. Oh yeah, I never watched the fourth quarter of the Bills playing the Ravens last night. Let me go do that. That won't take too long. Oh, let me go out. I'll take my walk in the middle of the day. And yeah, that won't take too long. Oh, right. And I got to go to the market. Okay, let me go grab those groceries. That won't take too long. Next thing you know, it's 4 p.m. and I have barely gotten any work done.
There are pros and cons to working remotely these days.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I prefer working non-remotely. I prefer working in studios.
So you mentioned the director in addition to the narrator. And at the end of every audiobook, the narrator lists everybody who's participated. How big of a team does it take? And what are the crucial roles besides, you know, we hear your voice, but there's all these other people we don't hear?
I'll begin by a caveat. Not every book has a director. Sometimes, I think I had done 400 or 500 books when people started coming to me and they would say, well, our budget isn't quite as big on this title. Can you direct yourself? Which I hate that even more than working from home. I don't have time to do the research. That's just the beginning of what a director does. The director is going to look up words and phrases that are, let's say, from foreign languages.
For pronunciation, I assume?
Pronunciations, exactly. And make sure that they are consistent. Consistently inconsistent. For instance, the one that has tripped up so many of my colleagues is Houston Street in southern Manhattan. Houston Street is spelled like the city Houston. They are not pronounced the same way. Rodeo Drive here in L.A., it's in Beverly Hills, one of the most famous streets on earth, and yet it's spelled like rodeo. But you would get killed in reviews if you said Rodeo Drive. So, those are just two obvious ones. Depending on who you're working with, sometimes it's a very straightforward book, and the director is there to look up the pronunciations, make sure that you are pronouncing them correctly, that you didn't say, you know, a shooting spree instead of a shopping spree. That has happened. And other times they are there to guide your performance and say, remember, this one is supposed to sound Brummy. This one is supposed to sound Cockney. This one, you know, in those cases, they're a lot more hands-on. And that's what I always prefer.
So you mentioned the Reacher series, and the first many of those were narrated by Dick Hill, who unfortunately has passed away, and then you got the gig. Do you feel obligated to replicate the patterns of speech and the accents and voices that he established?
That's a great question. I've never been asked that before, but the quick answer is no. I was actually encouraged not to. And the reason for that is, look, Dick is one of a kind. He was one of a kind. I'm grateful to say that I knew him for many, many years. And he could not have been more supportive when I took over. He retired a handful of years before he got sick and passed. He sent, I still have it. I printed it out. It's just right outside my booth door. I framed it, an email that he sent to Penguin Random House, to Lee Child, and to myself. And he said, this is a win-win-win for everybody involved. And that just meant the world to me. But his style is not my style. And I specifically asked them when I took over, do you want me to try to be more like Dick Hill? So, really, all I would be doing is trying to change my style, and that's not why they picked me.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember when I took over the first one that I did, I want to say it was either Past Tense or Blue Moon. It was one of those two. And so I'm recording it out at Penguin Random House, and I'm in the lunchroom, and I've got a Reacher paperback in front of me. And the producer of the series, Kelly Gilday, lovely woman and so talented, she said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm reading one of the Reacher books. And she goes, I know, that's why you're here. I said, no, I'm reading one of the old ones. And she said, I kind of love that. And she smiled and she walked out of the lunchroom. And then 10 seconds later, she comes back in and she says, you're reading them, not listening to them. Right? And I smiled because I understood what she meant. She didn't want me trying to do a Dick Hill impression. And I probably would have wound up doing that if I'd been listening to Dick Hill doing a Reacher book while I was recording a Reacher book. No, they specifically requested that I just try to make it my own.
Interesting.
We talked a little bit before about how things have changed over the years in narrating audio novels and other material. I'm wondering what the impact of AI has been and what the expectations are about that happening.
A lot of narrators are worried. My wife, she narrates audiobooks. Her name is Susanna Lise Freeman. And when I tell people my quick answer, which is, I don't think we have to worry. She will remind me, having gotten into the industry a lot later than I did, it's easier for you to say that because you work all the time. You have a career. People are absolutely going to keep hiring you. She said newcomers face a dilemma. They are easy to replace. So I can tell you that, yes, the industry is up in arms, and I have been ripped off. My voice has been cloned several times. I was offered at one point, a company came to me with the intent of saying, hey, can we pay you for your voice? I think I'm stubborn, you know. I always listen to the offer. Great, tell me your offer. And it was substantial. But are you crazy? Why would I give up control of what my voice is used for?
Right. After they have your voice, that's probably the last check they'll give you.
Look, exactly. And there are, I'm trying to think of the most polite way of saying this. There are evil, corrupt politicians that are in hugely polarizing in our nation at this time. Do you think I want my voice used for one of those so-and-sos? Hell no. Not a chance. And yet, people have felt, in the same way that they felt free to make me an offer to buy my voice, others have stolen it.
Wow. What happened?
To be honest, the first time it happened in the blind community. Somebody was unhappy with his screen reader and went to a book that I had narrated. It was 30 hours long. And there's an app out there that can, you know, basically clone your voice from a certain amount of hours of material. And they went, hey, now Scott Brick is my screen reader, and it's wonderful. And he put it up on YouTube for the entire blind community to get, and didn't understand why I was upset.
Wow.
He got angry with me when I didn't respond with anger. I responded more like, did you really think about this? And he got indignant, and he said, you don't understand what the blind community goes through. I said, I've been working with the blind community since June 10th of 1999. All of my best friends, all of my colleagues, we help the blind community in every way possible. My website, I paid a significant amount of money to make it blind-friendly. I know what you're going through, but I'll tell you one thing I would never want to do is take away your ability to make a living. Yeah, I had to get my lawyers involved, which was really unfortunate because, look, somebody wants me to make a screen reader. Great. Let's talk about it. I would love to do that. But you don't get to take without asking. You just don't.
And speaking of helping others, you actually spend quite a bit of time coaching, teaching other people. You have an interesting blog site where you give lots of advice to aspiring narrators.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. It's one of my favorite parts of the job is being able to share what I've learned, what I've experienced with others. I forget who said it originally, but knowledge not shared is knowledge wasted. So I love getting to coach. I typically save Mondays for coaching. I'm working with two people right now, helping them record their audiobook demos. I'm on staff at UCLA. I've been doing that for about 10 years, working with their third-year grad students. My wife and I curate the audiobook content at the world's largest voiceover conference, VO Atlanta, every year. And it just brings me joy. Don't know how else to describe it.
Well, audiobooks have been around for a while, and narrators like you have been bringing these characters to life for a long time for the enjoyment of many of us, and we really thank you.
Yeah, there's a fascinating book out there, and I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time since I read it. I didn't narrate it. I know it is on audio. I didn't listen, but I believe it's called The Talking Book, and it's a history of audiobooks going back basically to World War One, or shortly thereafter. It's fascinating hearing the genesis of how audiobooks have evolved over the years. And I'm just grateful to have taken part in that.
If you're looking for it, the full title of the book that Scott mentioned is The Untold Story of the Talking Book, written by Matthew Rubery, and it is available, among other places, through the National Library Service.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Scott Brick's audiobook narration, how to get some of the books he's narrated, and how to contact him.
Well, Scott, if people are interested in learning more about you or availing themselves of some of your coaching skills or narration skills, how can they get hold of you?
Thank you for asking. I'm on the socials, you know, Scott Brick or at Scott Brick or the Scott Brick, I think, on Instagram. My website is scottbrick.com or Brick by Brick Audiobooks, which is where I sell the titles that I've licensed the audio rights to and distribute myself. Yeah, my website has all my info and has a contact form, and I'm delighted to hear from people. And again, I want to make it blind friendly. That was one of my goals. If it's not, I hope people will let me know with as many specifics as possible so that we can take care of that.
Well, I've been through it, and it is very accessible. You did a good job, and I appreciate that.
I'm glad to hear that because it's been a while, and I just wanted to make sure that it's kept up with the increases in technology.
And I've been through it, too, and it's very attractive and easy to find the information.
Oh, good. Well, I appreciate that.
And as usual, you can find all of that information in the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode 2540. Also, we've done a number of previous episodes where we talk with audiobook narrators, and if you want to find some of those and listen to those episodes, just put the word narrator or narration into the search field on our website, and you'll find all of those. Enjoy!
We both really enjoy listening to audiobooks, and it was such a pleasure to speak with one of the more well-known audiobook narrators. But that's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about co-browse. Now, artificial intelligence can simplify online shopping or other online experiences for people with vision loss. We'll talk with Patrick Long, co-founder of the accessible InnoSearch AI shopping service, about their new co-browse AI agent, which uses interactive voice-controlled commands and reasoning to make various websites more accessible for everyone, and in particular for those with vision loss.
So if you're interested in trying out an AI agent, tune in for next week's episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.